Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 36 of Pit Shack Podcast. Had about a 5-month hiatus now. Me and Trevor been busy, doing a little bit of running around, racing, kind of all over the Midwest, it seems like, here lately. So we apologize for the delay in the show, but season's about 2.5 months from winding down. Points racing's winding down, so we'll have time to get back to this again. As Trevor's building shocks, I'm messing with my car, mowing and sleeping. So there really isn't a whole lot of time in between to get a night set down to do this. So thank you guys for tuning back in. Thank you for your patience. This episode is sponsored by Sharp's Fabrication Station. That's Riley Sharp here in Brighton, Missouri. He's redoing the Jeeps for Fantastic Caverns right now. He's built workbenches, fire pits. He can work on your go-karts, race cars. He's actually racing tonight at Lebanon, the Salute 75 Larry Phillips race. He's took a car out of the weeds and turned it into brand new again. So, I mean, if he can do that with some old stuff, imagine what he can do to your new metal and stuff that you're dragging home. Allen Auto Sports in Urbana, Missouri, a builder of new modified stock car chassis, build new, repair, buy parts. Scotty's always a good help, an honest help. He's not going to pick your wallet, overpriced stuff. He's going to sell you what you want, what you need, and nothing more, nothing less. Total Concept Fabrications, Jimmy Wilcombe. Known Jimmy for a very long time. And right now he's building some of the coolest street rod stuff that you can get your eyes on. He's total customization on anything, any vehicle-related thing. I don't know if he's working on bikes or anything like that, but I know damn sure that any of the vehicles that he's working on right now is total restoration to just touch-ups or whatever. Jimmy's the man. His craftsmanship's second to none. Definitely give him a look on Facebook. Dick Sticks by Drake. You didn't do Penske's at one point, right?
No, do Penske's. I got Penske's, just no Bilsteins.
No Bilsteins, but he'll build your Integras, your AFCOs, your Penske's, your Pros, Monroes, all of it. He's got his dyno set up, ready to rock and roll again. He's been working on shocks all week. Got a couple new customers coming on board this week, and he's fixing some tore-up stuff. Same thing, buy new, used. You got any used inventory?
Yeah, I got some bulb shocks that I need to get rid of. I got some 86 series AFCOs and some Integra Stealths for anybody who's interested.
Yep, get a hold of Trevor. His number is everything's on Dick Sticks by Drake on Facebook. Get a hold of him, message him, he'll get you fixed up. Then Oz Designs, it's Austin Johnson. He's been kicking out some t-shirts lately that are kick-ass. He just did Trevor's car. Best-looking car Trevor's had since he started racing.
That's no lie.
He's done all of my stuff. He's done a bunch of logos, a bunch of graphics. And here lately, he's been busting out t-shirts. Most recently, Jacob Hall, Bryce Gottschall.
Logan Smith,
Don Ost. Done really cool stuff, and they all have their own unique look. It's not a filtered piece. So get a hold of all those people, if at all possible, to help you out, or if you have any questions or anything, please look them up. They're all good, honest people, and they won't steer you in the wrong direction. So episode 36, Logan Martin episode. Who else is 36? Kenny Wallace. But it's been a while. There's a lot to catch up on. Last time we did this was in March. Got back from Florida. Raced local, and we were going to do one. Some stuff was, there was like a, see my drama immediately right off the bat of the season. We were going to do one, and I kind of talked myself out of it immediately because I thought I was going to get on here and spit my own opinion, and this isn't really what it's all about. I mean, we're spitting our own opinion, but I was going to get on here and trash talk because that was my thought at the time. So we laxed on that, and then obviously April, May rolled around, and we got busy. So there's a lot that's happened so far this season. Of course, every year there's always a lot of moving and shaking going on, but I was ready to get on here and talk a little shit. And that wasn't, I said I had notes prepared for that week, and then I let it go because that was the right thing to do. And yeah, here we are now. Gonna probably be some subtle jabs in here, I'm sure, but that's not really what this is all about. Austin wants me to mouth all the time, but I can't. It's against the law. Austin Roberts is in here as well. He's moderating this deal, make sure we don't miss any high spots. Right.
Yeah.
So, very first thing I sent to Trevor, we got a shared notes thing. For very first thing, that I put in the notes that he texted me on, thought we were going to go deep, is Cash Money Series driving itself to the grave. Got a lot of questions floating around right now. We talked to some people over the weekend, and it seemed to me, and it seems to everyone else, that it's dwindling. The person we talked to on Saturday said they don't think it's going to be around next year. That kind of surprised me because the car counts seem well, but that was at Springfield, and he said everywhere else it's kind of struggling. And that's going to lead a lot of people with nowhere to go if that's the case, because the motor rules aren't the same for Lucas, and they have to go up there and run their shocks and their tires because the motor rules aren't legal. And it's going to leave a lot of people that I feel like are probably going to stop racing because of that.
There are some cars I know that have quit halfway through the year following that deal that have went to Lucas. They put Hoosiers on. I'm not sure if the motor rule, but, I mean, you're behind on your shock package and everything starting over because those shocks are nothing to speak of, especially going to try to run ULMA stuff.
Yeah, I know Francisco Escamilla, I think say his last name. Yep. He's been racing up there a little bit. His buddy that drives a truck. I can't think of his dang name. He's been going up there too. Sean Whitman. He's been going up there. But I know there's a lot of people that kind of dropped off, started doing other things. Hawkins is one of them. Just been kind of doing other things. Jace Parmley hasn't followed. He's points racing this year. He's been kind of popping in and doing different things. But it seemed like there's a tiny bit of a lack of leadership, it feels, from the outside looking in since Justin's left. It's just Daryl running the show right now, and it just feels like not really got a whole lot going on as far as keeping up with the rules and making sure everything's took care of. There was supposed to have been some tire trouble at Nevada from a couple cars that didn't get brought up, and that would have been big news any other time. That kind of got shuffled under the rug. So that's kind of interesting because it started out strong. It started out 35 cars a night.
Well, and they were always, after the race, they were always there for an hour after they finished the feature because they would tear the top five down. The last few times that I've noticed them at Springfield, or I think they were at Monette one night, they don't really do a whole lot of teching. They really don't anymore. They kind of just go through the motion and kick them on out and see you next time.
It's supposed to be self-policed also, like I tech you, you tech me kind of thing, but as everybody knows, that doesn't really go on very well unless it's out of spite. But we had the couple times that I messed with it, they dynoed shocks, they durometer tires. I don't really know if the motor stuff was anything tech because it was kind of at that time wide open because the rule book was one page.
Yeah.
Measured trailing arms.
They couldn't load springs.
Yeah, you could load springs, but they put that 200-pound spring on the left rear and made it almost impossible because you can't preload it because the deck's just through the moon.
Yeah.
Me and Austin tried it and cut a deck all to pieces to try to get the deck low. So, and they're on a 350-pound right front spring. It's mandatory too, I think. 3 or 350, something like that.
No stacked either, right?
No stacked, single barrel stuff. But I don't know since Justin got out of it, if that's what's hurting the car count or if it's economy. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it's doing very well right now.
But, I mean, didn't it kind of dwindle when Brad won everything under the sun too?
It did, yeah.
Almost unstoppable in that.
Yep.
Keeter's very smart. He's very good behind the wheel too. So it's going to be very hard to beat him. You're going to have to be on top of your game. But I think that's part of it too, is everybody gets sick of seeing the same person win. They want to go try something different.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame them. I hate racing with Ryan for that reason too.
Well, and they're giving Keeter too much time.
Yeah.
Like everybody's got the same amount of time, but a lot of people are like jumping into ULMA and they're switching their shocks and their bird cages and stuff around, and Keeter's got time to go home and piddle.
Yeah.
And he's only racing that. He's racing for fun. So, and I know there's a lot of other people doing the same thing as him, but he's slick. He's been fast no matter what he's been in, so he's really causing them a lot of trouble. He's sped a lot of people up, too. But
for sure.
Right now, the Lebanon cars are fast, and then Parmley's fast, but these Keeter's still wearing everybody out. So, I don't know. We're kind of talking about it before we talked to who we talked to, and he told us that he thought it was going to bail next year. I'm not saying that it is, but it's just something to look at for sure because it's not good. That's going to lead a lot of people astray. I think we're going to lose a lot of racers by doing so that are going to go out and do other things.
Well, and it's hard because the class was created to save you money so you could go buy an older car and not really spend a bunch of money getting one together, but if they've had that same car since the beginning, then it's going to be really hard to sell. They're probably 10, 12 years old. I mean, wear and tear on them. Nobody's going to want a 10 or 12 year old late model unless you're going to ship it out somewhere else or sell it dirt cheap.
Yeah. You see a lot of mid-2000s GRTs on Facebook Market stuff right now, Master Builds and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think the only other series that kind of competes with the money expense-wise is the Southern Outlaws, and I don't really know anything about them.
I talked to a guy that runs both. He was talking shocks to go run that Southern Outlaw series because they have an open shock rule down there, and it's kind of sort of the same thing. They're on a better tire than the American Racer. They can cut them and groove them, but in order to go do something like that, you're going to have to spend $3,500 to $4,000 on a good set of piggybacks or something to go race on. And nobody that's doing that right now that is a live and breathe cash money racer, they're not going to spend that much money. They can't afford to.
Do you think a better shock or a better tire would help cash money? Because I think right now it seems like the better quality of racer can race the tire better than others.
Yes.
Because they break plain. They're reliable. You can't kill them. But they break plain and lack grip at sideways. And that's where you see those top five cars beating up on them because they're straight as an arrow.
Yeah, I think if you were to put like a D55 or something, one of the harder Hoosier compounds on them, that it would be able to be a little more forgiving for the people that sideways. Don't race all the time.
Yeah.
Or don't have the car control that you see the top five of that series have every night. But at some point, you're going to overdo your shock, and you're going to have so much traction that they're going to get hot and they're going to go away.
Yeah.
They're just going to give up. And then you're going to have, I think, the people that just race for fun, not really care. And once you get the shock hot so many times, it's not going to work. And their car is going to be worse than it was on the American Racer, but you're going to have the guys that are smart changing their stuff out every 5-6 nights.
They're going to buy new shocks all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they're supposedly cheap enough to where you can do that. I mean, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong.
Have you ever rebuilt any cash money shocks?
No.
Have you looked at it?
There's ways. There's ways, but I'll be honest with you. I told them no. I don't want to be in the middle of it. If somebody were to get busted with it and somebody snitch, then okay, so I cheated up one of those. What else have I cheated up? And I'm not doing that.
I know he cheated up something one time about a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. That's our old trusty tech man at Monette. He asked us to mention him.
Yeah, he did.
Trevor got in trouble or something, but
first time I've ever been DQ'd in my 14 years of modified racing.
Sound like an antique.
Uh-huh. I won't lie to you. At the time, I wanted to take that shock off and beat him with it.
Hey, it sucks. Yeah, but, I mean, I've been there too, man. It's not shit you can do about it.
Nah, it is what it is. I mean, the shock had went bad. It had fell down. The floating piston had moved in the inside of it. But the part that made me more mad was when we were standing there arguing with him, he jumped on the back bumper and tried to bounce on it and then went ahead and blew the seal the rest of the way out of it when he was jumping on it and jammed the jam nut in the seal. So I was more mad about that one because when I got back and put it on the lift, there was oil just running down the shaft.
We calling him fat?
Well, he did say he was 300 pounds.
Fair enough. You know, that's the floating piston got all jacked up, I think, because he turned that car over, so the floating piston was floating the wrong way.
Yeah.
No, I did rebuild him after I turned over.
Yeah, Trevor's done a lot this year. He's won some races, got in trouble, turned over.
Yeah, I went from the last episode we did, I wasn't probably going to race, but maybe one or two times at the end of the year to having Bob Long call me and getting behind the wheel and doing a lot of cool stuff and a lot of dumb stuff and tearing a lot of shit up one night.
Yeah, tipping over. Did a full, not a silhouette, but a period.
Yeah.
Did a full turnover, land on your wheels. Then Caden really screwed the rest of the deal up.
It was probably going to be really soft until Caden hit me midair in the foot box, and that's what hurt.
Yeah. I ain't seen a midget get that high in a while. That's bad news. Cole's Trevor's crew guy, and I thought he's going to have a stroke. I knew about Trevor turning over before he even got out of the car. We were on our way back from Wheatland. And the way Cole made it sound was that Santa Fe just jumped the railroad tracks and drilled him. I thought he was in big-ass trouble. Let's see in the video, he's kind of tipped over and landed on his wheels, but Cole's about to have a stroke. Is he all right? Oh, no. You better go check on him. See what's up.
No, the best part of the whole deal was, like, it landed on the wheels, and the way Caden hit me, it bent the window net bar, and it bent the tab over, so I couldn't get the window net down. And, like, the safety guys came over to the window. They're like, you're good? I said, yeah, I'm good. I'm mad. And I said, I can't get the window net down. And the guy tried to pull on it, and he's like, oh, we'll just haul you off here. I said, no, get me out of this fucking thing.
Yeah, you don't want to be in there any longer.
So I had to crawl out the right side of it, and everybody thought I was crazy for even doing that.
It's the benefit of being 6 pounds. Yeah. I'd take my helmet off, crawl out passenger side.
So did I.
Yeah. I was too fat, and my helmet's, I don't know. I think that Simpson's bigger than that belt is for sure.
Well, that's the reason I don't like full containment seats, really. I mean, if I had to get out with my helmet, like in a hurry, if the plane was on fire.
Oh, you got Bradley Bush on the edge of his chair right now.
I wouldn't get out of
like,
there.
Bradley Bush hates full containment. He's turning over his coffee table right now. He's like, I told you!
Lightweight Kirky for life.
Yeah, him and Dale Jr., listen.
Diddy said they were bad.
After you turned over, you kept that same body on for a while, but now you have it on your car. But I put in the notes that composite bodies are the shit. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I love mine. I've allegedly ran some stuff over, and you can't tell.
Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a fuss at the beginning. I know it's hurting our local metal guys for sure, but, man, it's so much better. I seen Tyler Kidwell's get crashed at Humboldt, backed into the wall, and I used to see the quarter panels all touching the touching the back of the car and everything, and he pulled away. His car looked brand new. That was my first, like, what in the hell moment. And then I've ran into some stuff, allegedly, and then get out, and none of the straps are bent. The quarter panel's still sticking out. So I'm good with all that.
I've got the MD3 on this car that I'm driving, and I think I'm more of a fan of the stack like you have. Mm-hmm. The MD3, the rocks are tearing it all to pieces. It looks like somebody shot buckshot down the side of it. There's plastic hanging off of it from where rocks have hit it, and the wraps peeling off of it. And it's notorious for tearing on the bolts too. But they don't look terrible. It is a whole lot better than sheet metal, I'll tell you that much.
You said you had a... Your car was, with the MD3, was 30 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
And my car was 25 pounds on the money lighter with the stacked body. So that's something to look at. So far, the MD3 stuff's getting kind of poked up. But yeah. And the stacked stuff, it kind of splinters. It's two very different properties, but I guess they each have their own pros and cons.
That MD3 stuff is thicker than the valence that you put on the nose.
It's 1/8-inch thick every bit.
And, like, I was holding up because the worst part about the MD3 body, in my opinion, the worst part about the MD3 was they come in giant oversized sheets. So if you don't have templates, it's going to be a pain in the butt to start from scratch on it.
And these stacked ones came pre-cut, but Scotty ordered enough that they pre-cut them. But I don't think that guy's doing that now because he got too busy. Because he was, I guess if you had, at the time you ordered X amount and sent him the dimensions for templates, he would send them. So these have been literally bolt and go. But I think after looking at your stuff, especially with it being heavier, I like mine better. Because the deck's already sagging these things from bouncing around the racetrack or getting hit, not hitting. And your car's 15 pounds heavier on each side. It's pulling on all that deck metal, dragging that stuff down.
Like when, because Tim Mullins came over and helped me lay it out and get it all cut on those big sheets that it came on, and you could hold the door and quarter with the angle of the sheet metal that I used for patterns, and it was just as heavy as the bare door by itself.
Yeah.
With the angle and bolts and everything on it.
After seeing it, I believe it. And I seen Jacob Ellison had a real, real problem with his wrap sticking to his. Did you scuff yours up?
I didn't scuff it. I cleaned it really good with alcohol, and I folded all the edges.
I see.
But where the wheel well is, I've already had to take masking tape and go around the edge of it because it's already starting to peel from where there's not a rolled edge around it.
We raced with him at Monette, May.
Yeah.
I guess. And I seen him again. about a month later at Humboldt, and this car looked like he drove through a war field just because the wrap was breaking everywhere. In my car, I didn't fold the edges at all. I just like razor bladed them sideways, and other than dragging the racetrack, which it did, it was sheet metal too, it hasn't peeled up at all, and it's seen all kinds of different racetracks, so it's not been hurt too bad just yet. Another thing had written down was, how do you think the Power Eye versus USRA stuff's going this year? Because it depends on what bandwagon you're riding on whenever it first started to build your opinion, but USRA has seemed to do nothing, and Power Eye's kind of seemed to do nothing times two. I heard some tech stuff getting a little wonky. There's places racing right up the road from us that didn't charge people for license, and Power Eye booted them. I hadn't heard that problem out of USRA before, but I think Todd keeps close tabs on his coin.
Yes and no. There's a place we've raced at in the last couple of years that I haven't, other than when I went to the Nationals last year with my A-Mod, that I didn't buy a USRA license until I got there.
Yeah.
I don't, it's not as common that you don't see people paying, but when they find out about it, they're not very happy.
Yeah.
I mean, you found out IMCA World, yeah, they called you out real quick.
I raced at the home of IMCA, and I got an email on that Monday morning. Like, hey, if you're going to run with us again, we're going to need some money, because they want a license. And so I didn't really think much of it, and then I registered for Super Nationals, and they messaged me again, like, hey, if you want to race Super Nationals, we're going to need some money. So they got some money. But I don't know how Power Eye probably did an audit on their
most
classes
likely
up there. But yeah, Volver wasn't having people pay temp fees or whatever to run if they weren't planning on running points, and that's not a part of the game. You're not supporting the whole gander whenever you're doing that. So they got their sanction pulled, but that's the only place I've heard of doing that. But a lot of interesting stuff that was happening around that time.
I hope they still have pure stocks, though.
Power Eye pure stocks?
No, they pulled the
sanction
from everybody
altogether, but it's Power Eye rule is what they said.
Gotcha.
Power Eye type rule.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We raced up there, but they didn't ask for my license. I had it, but they didn't ask. Most places ask, and I know USRA at one point sent out a sheet because they checked at the Springfield. They mark off your name or whatever. They checked the license sheet. They got updated weekly, but I don't know how Power Eye does it. But Lake Ozark, they didn't ask for it either.
Power Eye does it that way because beginning of the year when I started racing, Tiffany had a list of it, and I had to show her the email where I had just bought it the night before, and I had to do the same thing for that night that Dad raced this year.
See. Nothing's really happened with any of that.
The only thing that I'm confused on, it's been about a month ago, Tommy pulled valve covers there at Springfield, and somebody in there had stud girdles, so the next week he pulled valve covers again because he remembered seeing it, but he was saying that stud girdles aren't legal, but everybody else says they are. I don't...
It's an interpretation, supposedly, on that. So if you have splash guards and has 3 bolts, it's considered a stud girdle, but if you have a splash guard with 2 bolts, it's not a stud girdle. So that may... We ran into that with Darlo like 2 years ago. So, yeah, there's 3 studs in there to hold the splash guard down. They made us take one of them out. So 2 bolts was considered.
Oh, well, Tommy was seeing a whole ass stud girdle.
Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to do that. That's a no-no.
Oh, okay.
No.
Somebody was I don't remember who it was. Somebody was telling me Power Eye allow stud girdles.
I don't think so, but maybe. I'll have to pull the rules up here in a minute and see. But pull up the valve train rule, Austin. That's why Austin's moderating this deal. Got to get his phone off the charger. But with that splash guard thing, though, they made us take one of the bolts off, and it was legit again. So
at what point did you just run it?
I don't know. I think the motor builders had to fight for the splash guards, too. I think that was a thing.
Did yours have them on there?
Uh-huh. Yeah, like 99% of the spec motors have splash guards on them.
Mine doesn't.
Because they were burning up rockers. They were burning up those because it was fantastic rockers. That was another thing that was a huge deal, but I'm still on the old rocker. I don't know who's running the new ones or what, but I haven't heard anything about that. And we haven't been, I don't know that I've seen anybody get checked. Wait, where we go? They're checking springs. They're going to check ours. We told
Lucas.
Was it Lucas?
That was
yeah,
Lucas
they're going to check ours. I lied. It was Lucas. They're going to check our seat pressure, but since we had the old ones, it doesn't matter. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tommy has checked that at Springfield, too, under the Power Eye rules.
Really?
Yeah, he checked the night I blew. No, you won the night I blew up. So it would have been the night after that. I seen him walking over there with the valve spring pressure gauge, and then he's had valve covers off a couple, three times, checking rockers and pumping motors and stuff like that. But I don't remember seeing anybody with the billet-style rockers. I think everybody's still on the old shitty junk ones, which blows my mind. Everybody was bitching that nobody would allow them, and then they didn't pony up and spend the coin.
Yeah, I don't. And we've run the same set. We've run the same set all year and haven't had any issues. They're not discolored or anything. So last year broke three throughout the season. One of them was late in the year, but kind of broke two close together and then broke one there late in the season. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not driving it hard enough this year. I don't know. What else do we got here? There's a lot of big money shows going on with not a lot of big turnout. We've talked about that before on here, but I still don't know why, because it seems like they're, especially, we've said it before on here too about Tri-State, they get a lot of cars on a weekly show, they put a little bit of coin up, they lose cars, and around here, the money, there's shows that pay, don't get any car count, so to speak, and I don't really understand.
I think from what we've seen recently, what you and I talked about last weekend, I think the big money shows are a deterrent because all the money goes to the top.
Yeah, it's true.
The money's not spread out through it. So you get a guy who's going to have to pay an entry fee, or you're going to have to race with a lot more cars. You don't want to go over there knowing that you're going to get less, most likely.
Get rid of entry fees. And that's the dumbest. That right there gets people taken away, even though they know they're going to get their money back at the end of the night. But get rid of entry fees. It's the dumbest thing.
Stud girdles are not allowed.
Stud girdles not allowed. Whoever that was, cheating Springfield. You can't do that. It's probably why you're there all the time.
Shit.
But, yeah, no good. But a part of the thing that keeps me from going to some of the races that pay is the racetrack. Like, if the racetrack's not been worth a damn, I'm not going to go. Because, I mean, we went to Monette twice and they paid good. It was fine. But last weekend they had 1,000 win, didn't get many cars, and the racetrack was a muddy mess.
Yeah.
And that's going to, those guys that came are going to think about that next time they come back. We just didn't go because I didn't want to go. We've been gone like the last 3 weeks out of town. I wanted to race somewhere close.
Yeah.
But that's why I didn't go. But the racetrack was unique, and people are going to remember that and not want to go back when it's 5,000 degrees and muddy again.
Yeah, I just, and the last time that we went over there, granted, we ran that Mod Brawl deal that they had, so we ran double features, so it was a later night to begin with, but, I mean, I still lived 25 minutes from the racetrack at that point before I moved up here, and I got home at 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning.
3:30 when I got home.
And I didn't want, that's the reason I didn't want to go to Monette, because Bob and I had talked about it during the week. What do we want to do? Do we want to go try to go over there and get 1,000, or just stay around home? And stayed around home. Although we did say we weren't going to go back after I got DQ'd, but I was going
to
eat crow and
you're
go back.
You're living up to your word right now. Oh, well, you said Mod Brawl made me think. We need to go back to Cash Money thing. We talked about Sean Duncan and Van Zant while ago. I got to bring that back up again because that was funny. It was funny for Jimmy, I'm sure. But so Jimmy Van Zant and Sean Duncan got into it on the racetrack. Duncan's car wouldn't start. Afterwards, they had to wait several minutes to get push started. This is how mad he was. Get push started and then drove straight to Van Zant's bunny mouth. That's mad, dude. Imagine what he would have done if his shit would have been running right off the bat. They'd still be crashing. That's interesting. We all think about.
I'm plead the fifth on this one.
Yeah. There's a time or two, if my car would have started, I'd have done much worse. But it's good that you didn't, but he held it. He didn't care at all.
Yeah. That's a different level of mad.
That is pissed. But I don't know.
And We didn't see what transpired.
No, I have no idea what
to make that happen.
Leading up to that, but I know he had to get started and still spun him out. That's pissed off. As Jerry says in the driver's meeting, if you're mad, go hide in the woods. And calm down. But he didn't get to. We're talking stud girdle rules. So that leads us into Midwest mods. Shocks is the hot topic these days.
Oh, yeah.
And it's they're glorified V-mod shocks at the moment. They're supposed to be sealed, non-rebuildable, but people are paying great amounts of money to have shocks custom built to bring to the racetrack that are spending almost the same amount, if not more, than they are for a V-mod shock.
I've had this conversation at least two or three times a week for the last year and a half. You can buy a custom valved shock from Speedway Motors for $190 a piece. You can get a Bilstein for about the last time I ordered a set for somebody and I told them what valve to put in it, they were $190 a piece. Didn't matter what piston, didn't matter what you did, but it's not what that class was intended for.
No, because when we first started doing this, it was $70 Pro, $70 AFCO,
yeah.
Whatever, you with $130 Bilstein left rear.
Yeah, you may spend $150 on a Bilstein to put on a left rear and run not a TA Pro like all these guys have been trying to do, because the TA Pros aren't legal because you can revalve them.
Yep.
So you need to get a WB Pro or like a 14 Series AFCO that's sealed and run those. And
but you can still have them built to your specification, right?
Not the WB Pros nor the 14 Series AFCOs. Those are sealed shocks. They come straight from the warehouse.
That's what needs to happen. But then you're going to have people hooping and hollering that they got to spend money on new shocks. But if you didn't buy the wrong damn ones in the first place, then you wouldn't have this problem. So
the Midwest Mod class is so fast now. And they've got Burt's and Brins, they got quick changes. Everything that made the class slower and an economical and beginner class that you and I started in, they've kind of went by the wayside with it, which granted I get, three speeds are hard to find. Nobody wants to run 9 inches anymore because it's a pain in the ass to have 12 of them.
I'm good with all that.
But at this point, the only difference is is the two barrel on top of their motor. If they put a four barrel on it, concept. They got a concept B-mod motor.
Yeah, and they have the shocks now to maintain the car.
Yes.
Which, yeah, it's not. There's like 2 or 3 tenths difference in the B-mods and the Midwest mods.
Well, some of them.
At a lot of places, yeah. And that's some of them. Some of them are tit for tat, just as fast. But that's going to have to be policed, like, quick. And here we are. It's the end of August, and if they're going to say something, if anybody's going to say anything, Jerry's fighting a good fight right now, isn't he? He
does. Yeah, no, Jerry, I mean, Jerry and I have talked several times on this, and he's for the Bilsteins, which I think if the Bilsteins are allowed.
He's been a Bilstein guy his whole life.
He has.
So
but
that helps.
My whole dilemma is, like, if I started building Bilsteins, like, I can repair them that week. That's going to drive the quantity up around here. But why not allow the 74 series at that point? Just drill the gas ports out like IMCA makes you.
Yeah.
Because you can get a 74 series AFCO, I think, now, since, you know, inflation. I think they're up around 235, 240.
Yeah. But that defeats the purpose.
Just get you a $90 WB Pro or an AFCO, whatever you want to get, since Integra quit making those style shocks, and just run that.
Buy two of them, and then you have buy two right fronts, and then you have two different valves, and then you have two shocks for the price of one of your high-dollar shocks that you're not supposed to be running to begin with.
Yep.
And then look at you go. You got spares, and you're legal.
I build shocks, and I'm telling you to go cheaper.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's no way if like some random dude you work with talking about getting in a modified race, I'm going to jump in that and see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to be ridiculous. So everything he's going to buy is $250 at a time. Nah.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So, quit. Yeah, I don't know. That's a bummer. It needs to be taken care of quickly. It all kind of snowballed in the last 3 years. There's people that build shocks that people don't even know that they build shocks. There's two people in the Midwest mod class right now that build stuff. That
I've tried to buy one of them. I want to buy one of them out.
Yeah, well, there's two guys that build their own stuff, and I'm sure they help some of their buddies and stuff out, but not everybody has that access. You got that dyno stuff over in the corner right now, I wouldn't have the first clue of how to mess with that shit, but if I had a stack of $100 bills and I could pay somebody to do it and run a class that pays $150, we're racing for $400. We're big money.
Yeah.
Stupid. It's all dumb.
The problem with it is, though, I mean, in order to start it, like, you're to be able to do, like, let's say you're like, all right, I'll do it myself. Like, I'll tell you, like, I'll just be 100% honest with you. Like, for me to get started, to go full tilt, to be able to do, like, just two brands of shocks at one point in time, and then get a better dyno, I spent just shy of 10 grand just to get started. And I didn't know sicken from come here, so I had to sit in the shop for 3 months and just work.
Stupid. Moving on, a little bit further away from us. It was brought up about 2 months ago, but now it's really going head-to-head because Ricky Thornton was the man and Bobby Pierce was coming on. And since Pierce has switched to Longhorn and Ricky's, everybody's finding out about who he really, the late model world's finding out, like, he's for real. Those two are kicking ass right now. Hudson kind of pops in every now and again, but those two are kicking ass. I think it's going to come down to those two at Eldora, right?
Mm.
When they run their last race.
Yeah.
And they got the chase format like NASCAR does, and whether you like that or whether you don't, I think that they're gonna outlast and be in the top four. If they make it in the top four, it's going to come down to those two, no doubt.
If it's at Eldora, though, I think Pierce gets it.
If it's got some juice.
If it's got something where he can go up and lay the right rear deck on a wall, it's going to be Pierce.
Nobody is better in the late model running on top than Bobby Pierce, whether you like him or not.
I know. Better. I don't like to say it, but yeah,
he's he's on the ragged edge, but doesn't mess up.
No.
I mean, there's nobody better than him running the top. I mean, but if a track's slow and doesn't have something to hang on around the top, I think Ricky. Ricky can get up there and go, too. I ain't discrediting him, but Bobby will be the first one out there, too.
Ricky, I feel like Ricky's better when the track's dirtier for a late model because he's ran on our skinny tires.
Yeah.
And he knows how to manipulate that dust better. Yeah. Especially IMCA world on that junk Hoosier.
Yeah, he's ridiculously good when it comes to it. Because I think he ran a lot of, like, he ran in the desert, a lot of sandy, dirty conditions, but he ran a lot of daytime stuff. So when the track gets slick, he's an animal. Yeah. Watch him at Las Cruces in the slick. Like he had an extra set of tires. It was stupid. But with that, those two are Longhorns, and then the news came out that they said, so he was the house driver, but not the house driver, Tim McCready. He's out next year, and they're seeking someone new. Everybody's wanting to know who's going to be in it. I told you guys earlier that I thought B-Shep was the candidate since he's been in the R&D car, and since he's honestly sucked since he switched.
Yeah.
He's not really been that good. And I can see him being in it, but he doesn't want to travel all the time. That's why he went to his own car. But Ricky would be the why not, because he's flights out right now. I don't know that Pierce's attitude would work, because I say too much crazy shit on the computer. So I don't think that would work. But I don't know.
I don't know. I agree. It's either probably going to be B-Shep or Ricky, would be my guess.
What do you think, Austin?
One of them two, I don't know.
They'll be a race car driver. And some people think it's going to be some randoms, like some people that you wouldn't expect, maybe a developmental driver. I even seen somebody say Carson Ferguson, is that his name?
Yeah.
I even see somebody say that. But you would have to think it's Carson.
What about Ethan?
Ethan Dodson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's been...
He's close with them. Yeah.
He's been messing with that Longhorn late model here, and he's driving their mod stuff, and he's their test guru in the mod stuff. So,
that's
I mean, if they're going to go developmental, I would say they would put Ethan on tour.
Yeah, Ethan would be a good choice. He's good.
Yeah, he's a freaking wheel man.
Yeah,
for sure.
Really good.
As long as it's not T-Mac, I can stand behind Longhorn.
Yeah. Yeah, McCready's such a wine bag, dude. It's hard to root for him anymore.
He runs second and be like, oh, I'm not going to do this for much longer. Can't hang with these young kids.
Well, if they I don't think it'd ever happen, but if they threw somebody just totally sheet to the wind, brand new, Tim Ward, dude. Tim
yes.
Ward's been tearing them up this summer, and he would be a good candidate. But with no late model experience, I can't see that ever happening. But
I think Tim Ward needs a chance, though, because him and Ricky grew up in the same area. They grew up together. I think Tim could probably be just as good as Ricky.
His stuff's stupid fast when we go up north. He's unreal fast. His car's not tore up. And from what I'm understanding, it's just him and his dad.
Yeah.
They go racing. So that night we were at Boone, he was unbelievable fast.
He's had a year like Tom Berry had last year. Like every time I scroll through, he's won another one. He won the Dakota Tour this year. He's been lights out.
Yeah. I know that's a long shot, but like, fear to say, nobody that drives a late model currently, who would you pick? He'd have to be in the top three people you would pick to put in one of those cars. But
for sure.
Ethan Dodson's a really good prediction, but V Ship, I think, would be the most common picked person amongst the masses.
Well, I mean, B. Shep's been driving Rumley's car when Larson's not, though.
Right. Yeah, so.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Trying to find it, get in his groove, because whatever this Longhorn deal is, it just isn't in his wheelhouse. It looked like Rocket was going to make a revival for a minute, and now they're kind of settled back in and not winning anything. So.
Yeah, did you see that meme today?
Yeah. Rest in peace, Rocket. I seen that.
It said, so, like, 1993 to 2003, and then it had a guy standing beside the grave with the thumbs up. Is it Longhorn?
Yeah. It looked like they weren't. I mean, they're not dead by any means, but it looked like they were figuring some stuff out, because every time you've seen on Facebook, Hudson was testing somewhere. They're actively trying to figure their stuff out.
They had a slow start, but then April, May, they took off.
Yeah. Well, around the time they did that flow race at Motown.
Yeah.
He was on. And then, kind of settled back in. Like, elbows up places, it seems like it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But a momentum, slower racetrack, I don't think that they're doing that well. Longhorn cars are kicking ass.
Is Rocket the new Rayburn?
Ooh, I don't think so. I don't think that.
No. Wide open and rough?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Mark Richards would let that happen.
Put a swing arm on it, let her eat.
They might have to do something. They go to Wheatland, they'll be animals.
Somebody take the keys to the water truck at Wheatland.
It's hot, boys. We don't need to be that wet. Shit. There's been, like, someone else, Lakeside's been bad this year from what I'm hearing about being wet. There's been a lot of places we've been this year. I don't, what's going on with me in particular? Wherever I roll in at, that baby's wet. I don't even tell people I'm showing up sometimes. We just show up. I don't know what the hell we got to do, but that's an ever-long debate of wet, dry.
It wasn't wet at Spring Vegas.
Shit. In that heat race?
The feature wasn't. The
feature was fast, but it wasn't wet. It was racy. If it's racy, then whatever. But if it's wide open, get in the middle, boo.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Wheatland's been smooth this year, so I can't talk too much crap. Even when it's wide open, it's still somewhat racy. So, I'm going to make my bed this weekend. That bitch will be rough and wide open, won't it? 5,050 degrees.
If it is, you call me and I'll hightail it back over there. That's my cup of tea.
I'm going home. He said he's going anyways.
Yeah,
he's
my
gonna
ass.
He's going to do something different this weekend. I'm going to go to Lucas. Now he's talking about if it's rough, I'll go.
I don't know.
Bob wants to race Springfield.
Yeah, Bob wants to race Springfield.
Now, Bob does want to go to the Diamond National, or whatever it is, USRA Nationals.
It's Diamond Nationals a month ago. And a late model.
Wrong car, bud.
You don't know what you're talking about. Speaking of Lucas, SRX was there last week, and hot, nothing but good stuff to hear about that. I think the greatest part about the whole thing was Boyer sliding Davenport, which was like the highlight of the race. But Davenport giving him the business and going back on about his business, because there's some history with them. Because Boyer fired Davenport and told him he'd never be anything.
Yeah.
And then Davenport went on to be the baddest man on the planet. So that was Boyer, like, his hoorah of, like, I got to outrun this dude. And then Davenport was basically two thumbs or two middle fingers as he's going by. Like.
Well, I mean, when Boyer slid him getting into one, because I've watched the highlights of it. When Boyer slid him getting into one, you could see Davenport just standing on the gas because the back of it went down and he was wheels left.
Oh yeah,
punting him.
It had to feel good. Once it all panned out, it had to feel good. You know, when he got back behind closed doors, he's like, that bitch. Like, I suck, huh? Because that really hurt Boyer, because he didn't even finish in the top three after that.
No, I think he fell like fifth or whatever.
Ken Schrader out there getting it done, run third. What a bad mofo.
Ken Schrader's the nicest guy that I have ever met.
What a badass. He's like running, saying he put on Granite. He's going to Granite City, run his B mod, and the next day he's going to run an ARCA race, and then they're going to go somewhere else, and he ran SRX. Like,
yeah, the B mod, and then he went to the mile at DeCoin.
Yeah, he ran the ARCA race at DeCoin. Like, no big deal. Just doesn't mind to ride the truck and go racing.
But, like, he'll come down here to Springfield.
For no reason.
And I met him when I was a kid with Dad. And he'll walk up, and he does the same thing to you because you know his crew guys, Joey.
Talks.
He'll just come up, talk to you, shake your hand, nice as can be, and turn around and walk off.
Yep. Like,
that's very rare nowadays.
It doesn't really seem like he feeds into the people that treat him like NASCAR or dude. Like, he kind of acts a little bit indifferent about that. Like, he just wants to be a racer. That's what it seems to me.
That's what he... When I was a kid, we were at the DeCoin Mile when Dad ran his mod there, and he... NASCAR guy, and I was the little kid. I said, "You're the greatest," and he said, "No, I'm just another guy."
Yeah, that's cool.
As we're standing on the back straightaway.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I raced around him a lot more than I ever thought I would.
Yeah,
and he's cool. His crew guys, Joey's really awesome. I mean, they loaned me a battery last year at Turkey Bowl or 2 years ago. Whatever, they loaned me a battery though. I got to the racetrack, mine went lame, and they fished the battery out and gave it to me right away. And then we were racing against them. They could have easily said, "Nuh-uh," but. Like when he says he's coming to Springfield and Jerry puts out the little press release thing.
Yeah.
He'll always ask, "Why do you want to come to Springfield Raceway?" "Because I like it." Come all the way from St. Louis area to Springfield because I like it.
And he's always good.
My favorite track to go to is Tri-State, but I don't go down there just because I like it. That's a long way. But so the SRX race, so I asked my mom. My mom went up there. I didn't go because I had to go to work. Pretty early, but I asked Mom. I said, "How was it?" She said, "It was awesome." So I text Dennis. I said, "How was the races?" He said, "They were slow." So it's interesting. They were running two and a half seconds slower than the B mod.
They were running like 19 fives. And then when we were at Springfield Saturday, we were looking at the sprint car stuff, and they set a new track record with sprint cars at 12.9.
Yeah, that's ignorant. Yeah, like four and a half laps, and they're out running one of them big bombers.
Yeah.
Can you look up the last time pure stocks were at Lucas?
Oh, wow.
And see if there's any timing scoring on that. You might be able to go to the results page on Lucas' thing. But I'm curious to what they ran to a local pure stock. Because, I mean, they've got some sort of crate motor, I think, in their cars. Like some kind of Vortec headed motor, which I just seen a big, or like not a big topic, but some Vortec head discussion on Facebook. But I'm curious to know what they ran against. Pure stocks. How much do they have to weigh over the scale? 3,000? Or is it not that heavy? That may be stock cars. I know damn sure that stock cars run at faster times because they have bigger motors. But.
I have from when Redis ran at Lucas Oil and his pure stock in June of this year. They were running 20.7s at the end of the A feature.
So they were just...
Their best lap was a 20.4, so they were a half second faster than a pure stock over there.
Nice. And the track had some grip, too. I mean, it wasn't Baja wide open by any means, but it did have some grip. The track looked good. So
Midwest mods were running 19.2s and 19.4s.
So yeah, they're out. Midwest mods would about run those. But heavy cars, rigid suspension, I mean.
They probably still got the sway bars and everything on them, too.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You're going there for the superstar appeal, not for the speed.
Yeah.
They had 12 cars and people were jacked. New attendance record for 12 cars. Imagine if they threw a 30,000 win A mod race and 12 cars showed up. They'd be like, "What?" And like, everybody would be over the moon over it, like flipping out. But Tony Stewart shows up, 12 cars, hell yeah, get some.
I mean, I think it would have been cool to go to see the diversity.
But there wasn't as much at this one as there had been at other races.
Yeah.
So. I want to see some international stars or, like, even IndyCar stars like Helio and stuff would be cool. But going and watching the people that we could pay a ticket for right now, like, We can go see Haley Deegan. We can see Brad Keselowski. Tony Stewart's kind of everywhere. Who else is running the Weekly Cup? Like, they had Logano racing there with them this year. Kyle Busch. We can go buy a ticket for them people right now. But and sure, we can go watch Hilo Castroneves race too. But it's a lot harder to get a hold of to go do something like that because they're so far away.
But does it make you think watching that, like knowing that we've raced against Schrader, be like, man, I might be able to hang?
Man, you'd like to think that in the back of your mind. Like, if you were there and they like suit up, you're gonna run. Like, how far off tempo would you be against those people that have seen and done way more than you've ever seen?
Because I mean, I would like to think that I could hold a candle to them, knowing that raced with Schrader a handful of times and about ran him a few times. I would like to think that I could be able to compete with him.
It's kind of in the back of your mind whenever it's on dirt, but I think if we were to pop asphalt, hell no.
Oh, no. On pavement, I wouldn't stand a chance.
Kick our ass, but
I wouldn't have a tire in five laps.
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think so, but I've only driven a body car like once, so there ain't no telling. It might be wild as shit. It's hard to say.
I've hot lapped one once, and then I drove Tommy Thulin pure stock one time. Yes. One for one. I'm not getting one again.
Yeah, you call it quits after that. I don't know. I think it'd be cool, though, to... I mean, if there's any way to ever actually know where you stacked up with them. It may be a good thing if you don't, though.
He'd probably go home with her home, or like, tail tucked between her legs.
All this shit's supposed to be the same, and we're 6/10 off. Like, somebody's messing my car up. SRX deal went over good, though, so that was good. 8,100 and something new attendance record is what I've seen. So that was why I didn't go. I think the races were done in a timely fashion, but trying to leave with all them people there, it probably would have took a minute. But we didn't hear any complaints about leaving either. Garth Brooks' concert was a big-ass deal. God dang.
Yeah.
And Branson, but...
Well, Branson sucks anyway to drive anywhere.
We have two roads in Wheatland, so... And one of them's a racetrack. And they're going down 83 with 750 cars in front of you.
Oh,
Jesus,
God.
Man. You're under 45 mile an hour, about to lose your cookies at midnight. You want to go home. The Racers Reunion, we talked about that. Not March for sure. We talked about it prior to that, I know.
We talked about it in the winter, right before
the induction ceremony went on. Yep. So there's a new practice that they're looking into. Somebody talked, you know the guy that talked to Springfield's name? Drawing a blank.
You had to ask.
Anyway, somebody talked to Springfield on Saturday, and he was upset. So the new process seems to be, I don't know if there's a way we can look up the board members, but the board members, you can submit an application for somebody that you would like to be inducted. And the board member, so it's got to have, there's a criteria that they want you to list, like the accomplishments, years in racing, etc. I don't know the exact criteria. I haven't seen the sheet. Dean Hoover was up there. He was upset about it, and we talked to people that are cool with it. But there's a criteria that they want you to fill out, and you would, I guess, have to meet, or the board would have to vote on yes or no for people to be in, because there's some people that feel as if the way that people get inducted right now are friends of friends kind of thing, like buddy system. Like, Dale Earnhardt raced his whole life, but his buddy Leroy was with him every week, so he should go in too. That's kind of how some people are seeing it. But they're trying to narrow it down to where it's a little bit more fair way of getting in, fair, so to speak. See, try to be very neutral on this because I don't know exactly how it works, but that's supposed to be how it's going. And so Dean was not happy about it. He's a board member. He doesn't think it should be that way for whatever his beliefs were. But then we know a couple other board members who think it's a great thing, so that way they can filter and make sure that they're putting in people deserving or correct. And there's also been a couple ideas that maybe, like NASCAR does, so the Racers Union does a Pioneer ballot and a Legend ballot,
but they do
like a modern era ballot too. And so there's, I don't know that that's going to happen or not. There's an idea of putting in a modernized vote. I don't know what the year would be, 90s and up, whatever. But to put in some newer people, because there's a lot of these guys that are definitely deserving that are getting put in, but people don't know. Like, I go to the races all the time, and I'd like to think that I'm a buff on it, but there's so many people around here that I've never heard of. So they're talking about possibly introducing some newer names into it to keep some people engaged. But the voting process, though, is kind of a very divided at the moment because it depends on who you talk to. Some people think that people on the board shouldn't even be on it, and some people think that there should be more. So, yeah, that's interesting.
I've questioned, me personally, I've questioned, like, the induction process. There's a lot of people that, in the last couple years, that I felt like should have been in there earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, at the rate it's going, like, I feel like my dad should be in there at some point in time. He's won over 300, 350 times. And was pretty dominant around this area of the Ozarks, and there's like no conversation of it, because I mean I'll forever be known as Scott Drake's kid, but I don't, at the rate it's going, I don't ever feel like he would be considered to be in it.
Yeah, that's what I think the voting process thing is supposed to be for now. I'd like to see the ballot form. See, because I know you want your accomplishments here in racing, but I don't know what else more there is. I'm sure there's a pretty good questionnaire, and then the board reviews and votes.
Yeah,
and it goes down to a formal process from there.
But it's reassuring to know that, like, for me, that there's a formal process. Like, if there's a formal process and he doesn't get in, it was meant to be.
I mean, even with the NASCAR deal right now, at least Larry Phillips is being considered.
Yeah, for the last 7 years.
Well, it could be a bunch of people who are kind of out of touch with what's going on that are wanting to vote in whatever, some new dude all the time. But at some point, I think he's off the ballot. And I think that's kind of what it sounds like with what's going to happen with this. But like I said, I don't know 100%, but I do know a roundabout way that's the new process. But off the top of your head, Austin, who needs to be inducted this year?
I don't know anybody old enough to be.
You don't know anybody old enough. You don't think Gene Morton?
Yeah.
Gene
would be a good one.
Done it all. He's announced, he's traveled. Him and Melissa's been there, done that. They're still racing every week.
Yeah.
That'd be one of my first picks to put in around here as far as people that don't race. Like your dad, of course, should be in it. So, other than your dad, who would you pick right off the top of your head?
The problem with it is I don't know who's in already.
Just pretend that none of them are.
Wayne Graybill.
I think Wayne's in.
Wayne's in.
Is Wayne
in? I'm pretty sure.
Wayne's in.
Well, like, I would say Danny, but Danny was voted in over the winner, like Danny Felker.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Danny's done a lot. He worked with Larry Phillips and did American... Worked with Denny, obviously, and then owning American Made. Danny's done a lot. I was very happy to see him get in.
There are some people listening to this right now spitting out a name right off the top of their head. Like, there should be in. There should be in. Been a lot of arguments over that through the years, for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of very frustrated people. You're not going to win every year because there's only a selected amount of people that go in. But maybe now.
If they did come out with a modern, but he's just as old as Terry is. Jesse would probably be a good fit for it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, I think Jesse's pretty well, Stovall, pretty well in at some point due to his accomplishments. So, yeah, I don't know. And then how would you dictate modern?
Right.
I mean, shit, there's people that won in the 80s that are still winning now. So, I don't know how you'd go about that either.
Well, I mean, would it be... My question would be, are they going to do it like the NASCAR deal where you have to sit a certain number of years and not race? Because I think the NASCAR deal, like Jimmy Johnson or whatever, was eligible last year since he hadn't ran NASCAR for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think that's kind of iffy, too. NASCAR's different, of course, but there's some bad mofos that have raced for a long-ass time that are still winning. And if they sit out for a couple of years, they may not be here to see it. So, I mean, Jeff Cushaw's been racing for a long time. He's won a lot of races. And Jeff Cushaw's not going to sit out 4 or 5 years and then get inducted into it. So, people like that, I mean, the Newells, like, I don't think Big JC's in. I don't think Ben's in.
I don't Thank Ben is. I know Big JC is.
But Ben's won a shit ton of races, and the whole world knows him. So, just stuff like that. I mean, there's a whole list of random people that are still racing that are. They may not be here by the time they get inducted because they're gonna. They've got it set in their brain. They're gonna race until the day they kick over. So, there's a lot of people like that.
So, how would it work? If you think so, if you fast forward 20 years from now, and we have these 5 different modified classes. How's that going to work?
That's right here, man. People are going to get mad about it. Yeah.
Because they're like, well, he won 45 features.
Like, he's at a Midwest mod. Like, yeah. That doesn't make a shit. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a problem for them because it's going to be an argument no matter what because you're going to get a group of people that love this guy. You're going to say, he should be in. You're going to get a group of people that don't like him. Say, he only ran a bomber. I think I really feel like back in the day, the classes were, since there was fewer of them, they held a little more prestige than they do now. Like, you might be the man in a mini stock right now. That's all you can afford, but people aren't going to look at you like you're, like you have the same status as other people. Just, yes. So that's unfair. But you might be able to get the baddest pure stock driver that ever lived. Let's say, I can't even say his name because everybody get pissy. But you still got the baddest pure stock guy, goes everywhere, wins. You're gonna drop Tony Stewart in on him for 3 weeks, and he still fucks him up. He's the man. It doesn't matter what class he's running. He might just be the man. So I don't know. That's a debate for another time. Back in the day, there's not that many classes, and all the big dog. There's a lot of really, really good people that are in sportsmen and stuff like that that probably get overlooked.
Yeah.
Just didn't have the money to go full blown late model racing or something. So. I don't know. That's a problem for another time, I guess. We'll argue about that whenever we're antiques. There'll be somebody getting ducked, and we're going to think, oh, you didn't ever do nothing, but we have no idea. Just like right now. We might see some old-timer get put in and not know, but turns out they put in more hours and more dedication than we've ever even thought about. So, that's a whole other argument. Sloop, I mentioned it earlier, Sloop 75, Larry Phillips race going on 11 tonight. Car camp was kind of iffy, but I seen there's. I just recognize Bubba Polar. I know Dylan Bates is racing there, but I don't really know anybody else. But apparently, there's some pretty good cars there. Brian Brown's racing as well. He's running supers with Polar and with Bates. But I don't really recognize anybody else, but I don't know anything about that world.
The only thing that I had really seen today was somebody took a picture of the grandstands at like 4 o'clock.
I think that was. Dude that works for the guy you're trying to Shane. What the hell's his name?
Shane Paxton.
I shouldn't even bring this up.
Yeah, Shane Paxton.
Dang it, he works for Jerry too. I'm drawing a total blank.
Jerry Brown,
yeah. Yeah, I think it was him that posted it.
The
Jesus Christ.
The whole back straightaway tier parking deal was full.
That's good.
That was cool to see because that was like that's old Lebanon when it was dirt to me. Like you go there for a World of Outlaw race or a big LMRA race and all the tier parking is cool.
It'd have been cool to go see it. It's a different genre of racing, no doubt. And I'd still like to do it. I'd like to race a slower car. Like what Riley's doing, a big old heavy car. That'd be so fun.
So
those late models, that I don't think I'd be wild, probably.
I may get a call telling me that I'm stupid for saying this, but there might be the opportunity to run RB mod stuff on some pavement later this year.
Yeah, they did that a couple of years ago.
Different promoter this time, though.
I think at Bolivar, they did that?
They did it at Lebanon.
I don't even know what. I mean, just get every piece of lead money could buy and put on the left side. I don't really know.
I talked to Eisenhower when they were going to do that deal, and my ride fell through. But I talked to Eisenhower, and like I think they still should be on this phone since they got another iPhone, but I had springs and everything figured out, kind of. Just a really soft shock package and just bump the front springs way, way up, like 1,000, 1,100 pounds.
I don't think I'd want to do it in a car that I've been accustomed to driving, though.
No, if I did it, I'd want to do it in something different.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I don't really know that I'd want to do it in my car because, I don't know. It just sounds funny to say. I don't really think I have a good excuse for that. But
well, the only thing that I'm worried about is So what happens when something on a racetrack happens and it gets destroyed because you're going that much faster?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's how Bristol was. They put dirt on Bristol, but we still averaged 110 mile an hour, and through the corners we were running 95.
I think dirt leaven was faster than asphalt leaven, though. But
for sure, but pavement crashes are different than dirt crashes.
That's true. That'd be the worst part about asphalt racing, is the cosmetic side of things.
Yeah.
If you're just racing on a little bitty racetrack, sure, like you can have your nose kind of fudged, but if you're running on like 11, arrow's going to matter. 11's a pretty good size.
Yeah, so. Like if this deal happens where you run B mods on pavement, like I would probably put all new sheet metal on to go over there to have a chance to win for arrow.
Yeah.
I mean, arrow's important what we're doing now.
Yeah, for sure. I've tore off 3 noses this year and can't turn every time. Stupid. So, I don't know what to say about that. I'm tired of fixing them. I got one tore up I'm looking at right now. And I didn't even hit anybody.
He runned off the end.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I watched it.
Yeah, it happens.
From about half a racetrack back, I watched it. But
hopefully that goes well. I'm glad that they had some people in the stands. That was shit. That was 2.5 hours prior to start time.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, hopefully that goes well. I don't know what the support car count was. We bled up on race pass real fast, but hopefully Riley does good. Rooting Riley on.
I mean, I would like, we've never drove pavement stuff. We've just messed with it online on the quote-unquote simulator.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I would think we would be able to figure it out and pick it up quick. I think it would be very fun.
You would hope so. You got any car count information, Austin?
No, I was looking at flow. We're just now and qualifying for Lucas late models.
Really? We got time, boys. It's 8:30, though. It's too bad a deal. What else we got into some notes here? Going to Super Nationals again. And I got asked about the party scene. Ryan doesn't party up there near as much as he used to. Ryan about died one night.
Ryan about caused a lot of shit one night.
Yeah. So Ryan takes it easy. Actually.
Damn sure killed an ego.
Who?
Damn sure killed an ego for
oh,
the next
God,
couple of days.
Yeah. So I ain't talked about it on here and I ain't gonna.
Oh, come on.
Accident that happened kept me indoors for 2 days. I was embarrassed. And
I went to bed. I was a good boy and went to sleep and tried to get Ryan up the next day.
Yeah, Ryan didn't come outside because Ryan had a black eye. It wasn't from a fight. So, that happened, I got a black eye, and I did not want my dad to know about it because he would have chewed my ass. So if there was anything good to ever come of dad passing, it was that he didn't have to see that black eye because, God, I was so embarrassed. I was embarrassed for the people that was with me, but to try to have to explain that to him, he was going to be... I don't know how he's going to feel about it.
Sitting on the pole of Super Nationals and he hides for 2 days.
Oh, it's the dumbest thing I've ever done. I still feel stupid. So last year we were up there and made the race on Monday and I stayed for Tuesday. We watched the Bang Bangers. That's why I stayed. And Wednesday I was kind of floating around there and for the rest of the week I had nothing to do but party. And it's like, I just got my backpack and went home. I was scared. So I went to work, which is weird. I'll do anything I can to get out of going to work. I hate that shit. But so I went back to work and drove back up there Friday after work. And I don't even know that I drank that Friday night, to be honest with you guys. I think I stayed on the water. And I was getting nervous by that point anyways, but yeah, that's the dumbest thing ever. I don't think, is it past statute of limitations to talk about it now or no?
I mean, it's been 3 years.
3 years. I don't know. It was bad news. So we were out, me and buddy Scotty Carter, lifelong friend of mine, were riding around. We were drinking, and the golf carts aren't allowed in the pit area anymore. Well, we had ours parked in there. They're not allowed cruising around in the pit area afterwards because too many people get hurt. And so we had ours parked in there and kind of piddling around. I don't know if we're listening to music or what we were doing. But so when we were drinking, we knew we were going to have to pass the guard shack. So instead of just stopping and telling that guy, like, hey, man, we're going to bed. We know. We decide we go by as fast as we can. So we drove by as fast as we could, and here he comes. this dude's chasing us. We were in and out of campsites. He chased us for probably 5 minutes. We got away from him. It was fun. So we're back at the campsite. Like, you guys want to do it again? Like, yeah. So me and Jake and Dylan jump on a golf cart. We drive straight to the guard shack. We drove by the guard shack. We were yelling at him. Here he comes again. We swing the corner, basically make a big U, probably a 200-yard U. We're driving through this, what we thought was an empty parking lot. There's a telephone pole laid down in the grass. This is at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I don't remember hitting it, but I remember getting up, and the golf cart was gone, and the windshield was laying next to us, and Jake was laying on down. I was on my belly. My glasses were junk. Dylan was gone. Golf cart was gone. They hit that telephone pole and jumped it. I don't know who went through the window. I have no idea. But Dylan had the presence of mind to get the golf cart and get the hell out of there. And like, I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And the security guard very nicely told us, that's what you fucking idiots get for running from us. Tell us to go to bed. So, and then that's when it all dawned on me. Like, I'm sitting on the pole of the Super Nationals riding someone else's golf cart. Running from security guards. Like, how stupid can you be? Glasses are tore up. Got a black eye.
Shit.
So I spent the next 2 days inside. Embarrassed as could be. And then, yeah. So that same golf cart last year. I told them guys, I said, I'm not riding that golf cart ever again. It's bad luck. So last year, we're over there in the pits on Monday night. Adam Kaltenbach and I don't know who he was with. Needed to ride back to their camper. So like, I'll take you guys over there. So I cruised over there very slowly, two hands on the wheel, drove back very slowly, and I'm in the bathroom. I stopped in the porta potties, probably a row over from our haulers, and I'm in the bathroom, and I hear golf cart leaving, and but in the background I hear my dirt bike. It's Taylor Musselman just giving it hell. So I thought, it's one of those guys taking the golf cart from me. No, the golf cart got stolen from me. Some random ass kids jumped on the golf cart and took off and stole it. So now this year I am definitely not riding the damn thing, because I had to holler and get my golf cart back. But so see me on foot, that's the way it's going to be. So I'll take it easy this year. But yeah, that was bad news. I was so embarrassed. I'm still embarrassed talking about it. I won't do shit like that ever again.
No, but we're going to go up to – we're going to run – Ryan's going to run the Prelude. I think we're going to go up Friday night and give that old Skyrocket he's racing a little love.
I was slow at Marshalltown last time we went. That was bad. Wasn't any good. And I tried everything I knew how. Maybe I just don't know enough, but I was slow.
I think the biggest problem for you is the brake on the cage, especially as tacky as it was.
Well, and that, and I'm not aggressive, and that's what they call it up there.
No, and not at all.
People call me rough down here. They'd hate racing up there because them guys are wild as shit.
Well, that's so. What – but – When we went up there, so we went to Knoxville. We went up to Iowa to watch Knoxville Nationals 2 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan raced that Friday night. And it's very refreshing. Like, when we were at Motown, like, that was awesome. Like, you walk in, everybody in the pits having a good time. They don't know us from Adam, but everybody, like, smiles and waves. And you go up there, and the hot laps were at, like, 7 o'clock, 7:30. And we were done by 9:45.
Yeah, we were on our way. We got back to Knoxville, which is an hour and a half from the racetrack. We could have went in and watched the A feature on Friday, and we took our time getting back too.
So like it, that was awesome. Like, it was very good. But everything might be really relaxed in the pit side, but on the racetrack, it's no holes barred. If you guys around here think that somebody roughs you up when they're trying to go by you, you don't realize what you got to race against up there.
Yeah, it sucks because it's a whole different mentality. Like, I don't want to tear up this guy's car, but it's like, don't really mind fixing sheet metal. That's how everybody is up there. In the first lap, it's game on. So, well, like, you got to go.
That's a big deal with IMCA racing, honestly. I mean, everybody's on 604s. So you get what you get within the first 2 to 3 laps.
You're stuck.
And you kind of choo-choo train unless your shit's really good compared to somebody else.
Well, unless you get a restart. And then it's...
And then it starts over
again. Stand your hair on ends again. Yeah, shit's everywhere. It sucks. You don't really know what to do. You think you're about to crash, and you probably are. And the guy next to you doesn't care if he crashes, and he probably is too. So it just keeps on going that way. I said earlier, go keep going to these tracks that are wet. Motown was no exception. It ran an inch and a half the night before we got there. It was wet. So Motown's fun. Boone's going to be fun. Race of the Prelude. I don't know how many cars were at the Prelude last year for modifieds, but
there was 130, 140.
It's like 115 or something like that, sport mods, I think, when I went. They'll bust out that show with 400 cars in about four and a half hours.
Yeah. That's with doing track prep after about every 15 races.
Yep. So we'll run that, pack our bags, go home, run Springfield for the KTTS race, and hang out at home Monday, go to work Tuesday, then shoot up back up to Boone so we can start racing again on Wednesday. And hope for good draws.
Well, they changed that, so you'll draw out of
high and low.
Well, little, medium, big for your 3 days. So
I think the first day's open draw. Second day, say if it's 200 numbers, say you draw a 199 the first day, then you're gonna at least draw no worse than a 99 the second day.
Yeah.
So there's good in that. I need Opie to draw for me.
Opie's yeah. Miss. The last year I went, I drew the biggest number you could draw out of each section.
Yeah.
I started third row, fifth row, and seventh row.
The B mod I did good on draw, but the modified I sucked until Opie did it for me. And lo and behold, we draw a pole on Friday or Thursday night. Maybe.
Well, yeah, the year you ran it, it was still open draw all
open
three
draw
nights.
Every night, yeah. So Prelude will be what it's going to be. That'll get laps to see if we got the car any better and do some stuff to it. But Super National starts Wednesday. It's going to get serious real quick.
Yeah.
Hope I'm in some dirty, late heat races.
About with 7 or 8 after track prep.
With some PUD cars.
Yeah.
Because that's what's important.
But the problem, too, there is you don't know who PUD is.
Yeah, that's true. I know a lot of the fast modified guys' names, but there's a lot of guys that I've never even heard of that are fast as hell. So, that's a problem. Just got to not look at it like you're at Super Nationals. That's the one thing I've learned. Is it's just 500 cars there, you're only racing 8 at a time. So, who cares about the other guys that are there?
And when you're sitting there, because they line up 2 or 3 heat races there down the pit aisle where you pull on a back straightaway. And so, you're sitting beside the guy you start beside for 15 minutes. And
it's easy to get in your head.
You look over and you're like, man, that car a little rough. It looks like he's been kind of in the way. But then you don't realize it looks a little rough because he'll move you out of the way to go on.
Yeah, he doesn't care at all. So, it'll be exciting. I'm not sure if we're going to blog it, but I'd like to. I still got Florida video to edit, but I've messed up and turned all that stuff on 4K, and those files are gigantic.
Yeah.
But I'd like to blog that because that's going to be a wide-open couple days. We'll drive straight up there, scale. Who knows how long that'll take. Prelude the next day starts at 2.
Yeah.
And then bust ass to Springfield because they start at
2.
2. So I have to have all of our stuff loaded up, ready to go for that. And granted, I don't tear the car up. Prelude Saturday night, we'll put it up, take it home, then hustle this way, try to run that. So
First weekend's gonna be hell on wheels.
It'll be an interesting few days, and then race Super Nationals Wednesday through Saturday will be like time will stand still. So you run your hot laps, and who knows when your heat race is gonna be. So it might be 10 minutes, it might be forever. Either way, you're gonna have a long wait before or after.
Yeah, you're gonna get the worst part about Super Nationals when you're. To me, when you're racing up there, is so you get there and you draw at like 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. You wait around till 1:30 or so when they post the lineups. And Wednesday, I think stock cars run first typically.
Yes. Yeah.
So stock cars run first. So you know you're not going to race till 5 or 6 at the earliest when they start at 2. So you see where you're at, and then you may not run your heat race until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night,
yeah,
but
ran.
Then if you're in like 28, or if you're in the last 10 heat races, you only have about 25 minutes to turn around to run your qualifier if you make it.
We ran heat race 29 and made the qualifier. It's like wait all day, run that heat race. It was hair on fire after that to go run the qualifier.
If you know you're in heat race 29 and you got a decent starting spot, you better have tires laid out, gas ready to go, and you need a couple buddies over there with you.
Yep. Yeah, because I thought, there ain't no way we're making that qualifier. We made it. It's like, oh, shit, we didn't have nothing ready. It's that trash everywhere. So, hopefully that goes good. The cars, it was okay at Boone, not very good at Marshalltown. We're going to get it good. Hopefully I don't drive like a old lady. But I don't know if there's anything else we didn't cover. Did pretty well. Knocked everything down. Austin, you got anything you want to contribute to this?
Nope.
Nope, nothing. He got stuck.
You don't want to talk no shit, nothing?
Not loud.
Oh, okay.
He got stud girdles and pure stock times in, so it's all good. Anything you look forward to? Nothing. Depressing.
Boone.
Boone. We're going to do Boone. I don't know if we'll do Power Eye Nationals. That's the following week. Or OU USRA Nationals, and then the following week's Power Eye Nationals, and then Spooker Turkey Bowl. I think it's the highlights.
Spooker.
And whenever they reschedule the Young Hands race at Lakeside. I want to go to that. You're supposed to reschedule it. So I'd like to do that. I don't really know what else is happening. Wichita's got some October races at 81 Speedway. Jerry races up until December. So I don't know. Be plenty to still go and do, but now that points racing's over, we're all going to be on top of each other again here pretty soon. So be some good shows coming up. Hopefully a lot of safe, non-tore up racing, but we got these composite body panels so we can run over some stuff.
He just tear up everything else underneath it.
Well, that's all we got. Thank you for everybody that helps us out on the podcast. Thank you for all that listen. And thank you for everybody that goes to the races every weekend, because there's a lot of good, bad, ugly online. But you guys keep going and spending your hard-earned money. So it gives us something to talk about and complain about during the week. So
it doesn't go unnoticed either that we haven't done one since about March. And
yeah, we've been asked a lot, for sure.
A lot. And it doesn't go unnoticed.
Definitely been some times we probably could have made time, but just there's a lot going on. So the podcast stuff kind of gets put on the back burner. But as it cools down, we'll fire it back up again and be more consistent over the winter, just like we were last time. So, thank you, guys.